Guys, we have our special guest on the line right now. Actor extraordinaire. You can see him on Sneaky Pete Season 2 on Amazon Prime. It's an awesome show if you have not checked it out, you guys. Joseph Lyle Taylor. What's up, Joseph?
Hey, Al. How are you?
Hey, pretty good to have you here on Below the Belt Show, along with myself. You're also talking with Chris Myers and Sean Cradle and the lovely Sarah's in studio as well.
Hey, everyone. How are you guys?
Good.
Hey, good.
How are you?
Good. So, Sneaky Pete, you got a new fan here of Sneaky Pete. And again, we'll talk too much spoilers because I guess a lot of people haven't had a chance to binge watch season two yet. But you have a very pivotal role that carries from the finale to the premiere, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a sweet role. Graham and Michael and Fred really put together a nice character. So we had a lot of fun shooting it.
Yeah, man. When I think thug, I think Joseph Taylor. I think you did a good job.
Yeah, he's a pretty sweet thug.
How did you prepare for your inner thugness, so to speak?
Well, you know, it's pretty much on the page, really. I'd worked with these guys in season one. You know, they called me in for the very last episode of season one, mm-hmm. And so we got kind of a real good sense of, you know, me and Darren, Desmond Harrington, we're going to be pretty rough, you know. And then they sent me a script for the first episode of season two. And for those who haven't seen it, I won't spoil it for you, but there's a hotel scene. And I believe the episode is called the Sinister Hotel Room, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And it is just a really brutal scene. And so I just sort of took it from there, you know. I played some pretty nasty characters in my past, too.
Yeah.
But I felt Frank was not only nasty, but he was smart and very good at what he does.
I would definitely concur with that. So talking about the history of the roles, do you feel that you might have gotten typecast as kind of the bad guy over the years?
I hope so.
Nice. That's a good thing. When you get typecast in this sense, it's a good thing, yeah?
Oh, yeah. The bad guys are the funnest roles to play. I did an independent film years ago. The character's name was Nunzio, and he killed people with an ice pick in a film
Christ.
Called Burrow of Kings. And, oh, man, it was a blast, you know?
An ice pick. Wow, that's... what is that 90s film with Michael Douglas? And reminds me of that, too.
You're talking about the one with his wife?
Yeah. The ice pick was like the big weapon of choice.
That's not
oh, that's right. I remember that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Viggo Mortensen was in it.
Yes,
the guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that certainly is the weapon du jour for that one. Wow. So what's it like working with such an amazing cast of Sneaky Pete? I mean, again, I think it's an amazing show. You know, award season kind of overlooked Sneaky Pete, and I think needs to be given a shot, a proper shot.
I agree. I think I liked the first season a lot. Bryan Cranston was fantastic in it.
Right.
He's not in the second season, but he's, you know, he's executive producing.
Right.
But Giovanni, I thought Giovanni is, I mean, he's amazing. It's just a really perfect role for him, I think, anyway.
He's an amazing actor. He's one of my favorite actors.
He's great.
Hands down.
And in this in particular, I think he really excels, you know?
I watched the first season. I haven't got a chance to watch the second one yet. But he really sells a lot of the stuff in it that I think if it was another character besides him, I would question how are they going to fall for that? Like, how are they going to fall for this bullshit he's given?
I agree 100%. And he's so good at the con.
Yeah.
You know, like setting up, because you never really quite know how deep it's going. Well, you're going to love him in season two because he is just, you know, the writers just put him against a wall. You know, I mean, he's got his back against the wall the entire time. You just have no idea if he's going to make it or not, you know?
Yeah, I barely binge watch anything, and I remember binge watching that when I found it. I watched it all in two nights, which is like a record for me. So I'm definitely going to watch the second season. I look forward to it.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you real quick, how big of a role did you play in He's Got Game?
I'm trying to think. I think I was like number 8 or number 9, maybe. I had about a month on it. I was Jim Brown's partner in He Got Game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, which was very cool to hang out with Jim Brown.
Yeah, what was that like working with Spike Lee? He's one of my favorite directors, period.
Well, I've done 4 Spike Lee films.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, in fact, Spike Lee gave me my first film role in Girl 6.
Okay.
And I played caller number 16.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's all the phone sex craze.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
And then after I wrapped that day, he said, "Hey, could you come back tomorrow and play caller 3? And I said, yeah, I'll do it. So I came back and got to be another caller, but only off screen.
Let me ask you a question real quick. It's just a personal one. I always kind of wanted. How often does he get behind the camera and actually set up the cinematography?
He really is chomping at the bit the entire time.
Yeah.
Malik... DP'd Clockers, and I think he DP'd Girl 6, and I think Ellen Kuras came in and DP'd Summer of Sam.
Oh,
and
good movie.
And I think Malik did He Got Game too. But yeah, no, Spike is just—he's always there.
Yeah.
He's always like, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." And you know, Malik and those guys are trying to set up that beautiful shot.
That's some amazing credits you got there, though, bud.
Yeah,
that's all.
Not only Spike Lee, a lot of great directors. I'm reading here: Christopher Nolan, Martin McDonagh, Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Any other particular of those directors come to mind as one of your favorites?
Well, Sidney Lumet was my favorite. I worked with Sidney Lumet on a show called 100 Center Street with Alan Arkin, and I was a series regular. It was took place downtown. You know, I was played in ADA. And so we worked for a couple of years together, and he was he was amazing. He knew exactly what he wanted, mm-hmm. but he gave you the freedom. He wrote a book called Making Movies, Sidney Lumet did, and for anyone who's interested in the industry at all, I highly recommend it. It's a pretty short book, maybe, I think it's less than 200 pages, you know, and he talks a lot about The Verdict with Paul Newman. You know, and how he, you know, how they were riding in a cab back to, you know, he was dropping them off after a day of rehearsal, you know, because he liked to rehearse for a couple of weeks before they mm-hmm. shot. And he says to Paul Newman, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says something like, "Listen, darling, you're going to have to bring yourself to this role, and it's up to you whether you want to go that far with it. But if you do, it's going to be beautiful." And, of course, I mean, if you've seen The Verdict, you know the performance is maybe one of his best, you know.
Awesome. What was it like working with Christopher Nolan, and what project was that?
I worked with Christopher Nolan on The Dark Knight Rises.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I only had a couple of days on it, but...
yes,
you know,
I'm reading here, DWP Man on IMDb.
Yeah, I was a sewer dude, you know.
Oh, nice.
I'm like the sewer guy who finds dead bodies, you know. I'm like, "Hey, washed up on the thing like last night. We came over here, we found him," you know. But it was very cool because John Papsideris, who's was the casting director for that, called me in, mm-hmm. and I just rewatched Following, which was Christopher Nolan's. He says it's his first film. I don't know. Maybe it's very good for a first film, but you know, that's what he says, and I believe him. But, you know, his main character goes into an apartment, somebody's apartment, right? And on the door of the apartment mm-hmm. is the Batman insignia. Ugh. Now, this is 20 years before he did any Batman movies, you
right.
know? I'm like, "Look at this freaking Batman." And so I walked in, and I'm talking, I'm like, "So I see the Batman insignia on the door." He goes, "Oh, yeah, there's one in Memento, too." I'm like, "I didn't see that one, but what kind of foreshadowing you had."
That is foreshadowing.
That sounds like the thing I'm into. It's called synchro mysticism.
Okay.
It sounds like it.
That's real deep, isn't
it? Yeah, synchro mysticism. It's just like not a coincidence, but a synchronicity. So it's like three or more things that happen that are not commonly to happen together.
Right.
And that's like
by
something.
By chance it occurs.
And it's the synchromysticism, it's with media. So that's like something he noticed. That's really weird.
That's a cool coincidence. And
or I mean, I think that's a perfect example of synchromysticism. You know? Perfect.
To say it, yes. I win.
I love it. I love it. You got some future projects to talk about?
Well, I did an episode of NCIS, which is going to air in May, and I'm working on a couple screenplays. And, you know, you're always looking for the next gig in this business.
Okay,
so that's how it rolls.
Yeah. You're obviously auditioning all the time. Let's get back to your writing, obviously. Here is something I'm reading, The Glamour of It. The Glamour of All.
The Glamour of It All.
Yes.
It's a short film I did. I wrote and directed and acted in, and it's a comedy. You know, it's a little probably 4.5 minutes long. It's about I'd gotten a call from Risa Brayman Garcia, who's a casting director here, and she also mm-hmm. runs a little kind of a little studio. You know, and she said, "Hey, why don't you come over and work with some of my actors, and we want to develop some stuff, you know, to shoot." And I'm like, "Oh, all right, cool." So I went over and I wrote this piece, and we ended up shooting it, and it turned out really funny. You know, it's a bunch of about five guys, one of them's in the audition room, and the other four are sitting out in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. And we're going in for the new David Milch project, which is about Samantha, who, a.k.a. Sam, who is realizes he's had a traumatic, he had a stroke, and he realizes he's a woman trapped in a man's body.
Oh, wow.
This is the idea of the story that Milch is pitching HBO. You know how it goes, you know. Mm-hmm. And so all the four guys are sitting in the waiting room, and we're all in dresses and makeup and the whole bit, and we're waiting to go in, and really nobody's happy about it. You know, we're all like, you know, so anyway.
You mean in real life you weren't happy about
short.
It?
Huh?
You mean in real life you weren't happy about it, or in the movie?
No, the actors, you know, how I wrote it. So everybody's
right.
A bit disgruntled about having to be in drag. And
I've done it before.
You've done drag before?
It was a John Waters film, though.
Oh,
so.
The John Waters film, yes.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Yeah, I did that in Cecil B. DeMente. I'm very proud of it, too.
Nice, that's great. You also just completed Ascension, a television pilot script. Has that gotten any traction yet?
No, not yet. Well, I've had some people reading it, and Graham Yost read it, and he gave me some notes, and so I'm going to do a little touch-up on that and send it back out, you know.
Nice. Can we talk about the synopsis?
It's basically, you know, guys in Iraq. I kind of loosely based on an article I read in The Intercept and then a book I read by Jeremy Scahill called Blackwater.
Okay.
And, you know, just all the – there's so much crazy stuff that went on in Iraq. You know, like these guys – all this money disappeared. You know, like $2 billion just mm-hmm. disappeared. And of course, they were all doling it out for these false contracts.
They were like the private military, right? The Blackwater?
Exactly right.
Okay, I remember.
And so they ended up massacring a lot of people in Nisu Square. And, of course, nobody gets in trouble except the grunts. And so anyway, so I was really taken by this book, and so I decided I was going to write a script on it. And so that's what I did. And so we
that's so cool.
You know,
so if you were to cast
very
it.
Anti-heroic piece.
Yeah. If you were to cast it, who would you like to cast?
Al Sudeikis.
Say it again?
Well, who's say cast me, but I didn't want to.
I'll cast you.
obviously, I imagine you would cast yourself, but who else would you like to?
Well, you know, I think Steve Zahn would. I wrote a character in there called Vietnam, and he would be. He's just perfect. He's like the comic relief in the thing.
Oh, that's
know?
Great.
Hey, here's something.
Yeah.
He steals a gnome in a movie once. It's called...
I saw that movie.
Suburbia, second one.
Oh, yeah.
The second one. He steals a gnome and he's like running around with it.
Yeah, I saw him do Bogosian's play at mm-hmm. Lincoln Center like years ago in the 90s. And I'm like, mm-hmm. holy shit, who is this guy?
He was just in a trailer for something coming out soon. Like, he's in a big movie coming out soon. I can't remember what it was, but I was surprised to see him. He's a decent actor, but I think he's kind of like a Jack Black, but he just never took off.
Okay.
You know?
I would say he's like a champagne version of Jack Black. Yeah. You know? Like, he's like in a really... I think he's super fine.
Quiet taste.
I love it.
It's subtle, you know? Yeah. He's a little more subtle.
Yeah.
So
I like Jack Black. Jack Black's funny.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Bryan Cranston, who I think is one of the greatest actors around today. What was it like working?
I agree.
Yeah, what was it like working with him as a producer? But he was also in the cast as well of Sneaky Pete.
Yeah, well, he did the first season one. He didn't do much acting in season two.
Right.
In fact, I don't think he did any acting in season two. Not to spoil anything for anybody, but he's great. I met him. He would come to the set occasionally, and he was sitting around, and I walked up, and he was like, "You are a very bad man." I said, "Thank you." And so we just, you know, he's like one of those guys. He's like one of those sort of middle-class actors who just stuck with it and just hit it big, and now he's, you know, producing. I don't know if you saw Trumbo, but he's fantastic.
Yes.
And the LBJ movie. I mean, forget about it.
Fantastic. Who wasn't a fan of Breaking Bad, right?
Oh, Breaking Bad is great. I'm watching Better Call Saul now, you know, and it's just that Vince Gilligan is brilliant.
Oh, my God, absolutely. So are there any dream projects left for you, Joseph?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much... Well, I don't know, dream projects. Like, yeah, sure. You know, I would
or
like
something
to
that
do
you haven't done before is a
like,
type of role. You usually play the bad guy. Would you want to play the good guy or the hero?
No, I play the good guy sometime.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to play Meryl Streep's son.
Oh, nice.
Where like one of us has cancer or something. You know what I mean? Like one of those kind of things.
Okay.
Something that could give you like a nod.
A nomination.
Yeah, kind of nod in the awards.
Yeah,
right?
A nomination, exactly. Me and Meryl getting down with it. You know what I mean?
Pitch it. Dude, you could write it right there, man. It's perfect.
Exactly.
Oh, fantastic. Joseph, dude, it was great having you on Below the Belt Show. Sneaky Pete, Amazon Prime, all episodes are out now, season two. Fantastic talent. You played that role of Frank so fantastic. But no spoilers of what happened to your character, but we hope to see you in some capacity. <Let's just say.
laughs> Thank you. Hey, it was nice meeting you guys. Thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
Now, before we let you go, if you could, let us know who you are from Sneaky Pete, and you're on Below the Belt Show.
Yeah, this is Joseph Lyle Taylor from Sneaky Pete on Below the Belt.
And catchphrase? You got a catchphrase?
Keep it simple. Keep it cool.
Nice. That was great. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, brother.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.